Well, good morning. Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on with our series that we're calling Away from the Manger, Seeing Beyond the Little Lord Jesus. And what we're doing is looking at moments in Jesus's life and ministry where he quotes statements from the prophet Isaiah that are really about himself or about his ministry. And we're talking about how, you know, he's God in human form. He is the Messiah. And yet, many of the people in his day missed the Messiah. They missed him. They misunderstood him, or they rejected him. Oftentimes, the people who were the most religious, they missed Jesus. And so we're kind of saying in the series, as we enter the Christmas season, let's not miss the real Jesus. Let's not minimize Jesus, but let's see him for who he truly is. And we read from Mark chapter 11, and it's the moment where Jesus on Passion Week. He comes into Jerusalem. Sunday is what we celebrate at Palm Sunday. He comes in. He is hailed as king, right? They are saying, right, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, calling him the son of David. And then on Monday, he comes into the temple. And this is what happens. It says, on reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written?" This is where he quotes from Isaiah and also from the prophet Jeremiah. He says, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers." We're literally a cave of thieves. And here's what's going on here. There's a number of things going on here, but just to give you a little background, this was Passover week. And on Passover week, picture Columbus on an Ohio State football game night, right? Jerusalem would just swell in numbers during Passion Week. People were coming over during the Passover week. So Passover was, one of the most sacred holidays, where they were celebrating God's bringing them out of Egypt and how he passed over the Israelites. Everyone who had put the blood of a lamb over their doorpost, he passed over them, and when he took the firstborn of Egypt. And so they celebrated the Passover that week. And what would happen is that Jews and God-fearing Gentiles, right, foreigners from all over the Roman world would flock to Jerusalem, to the temple, to celebrate the Passover and to worship God, to offer sacrifices. I mean, people were making pilgrimages, right? Traveling miles and miles and miles and miles and miles on foot, right? By animal, to come and to sacrifice at the temple in Jerusalem. And so when Jesus walks into the temple, and what he sees is that in the Gentile court, right? What's called the court of the Gentiles. That was the outer court of the temple. So they had a number of courts, right? Past the Gentile court was called the court of the women, and then the court of the Israelites. So if you were a Jewish woman, you could go past the Gentile court and you could go to the court of the women. If you were a Gentile male, then you could go past that into the court of the Israelites. And beyond that was the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest went each year. And so basically there were these levels of division, right? You can go here, but no further, depending on your nationality or your gender. And so Jesus comes in and he sees that in the Gentile court, the Jewish leaders, the synagogue leaders, the temple leaders, the chief priests, the people who are responsible for keeping the temple a place of sanctity, a place, a sacred place where God's name is kept holy, where people, both Jew and Gentile, can come and worship God. It's been turned into a marketplace. And I'm sure the original idea was probably a good one, in the sense that they thought, well, you have to come and you give a temple tax, but it had to be paid in a temple currency. So if you were coming from, somewhere where you didn't have access to that currency, right here you could get your money exchanged, right? It's a nice, convenient service. And you had to offer a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice. So what if we sold animals here at the temple that were acceptable sacrifices, and you could just buy it on your way? I mean, that really, in concept, that's not a bad idea. It's a great service to those who are coming from far away. But it seems like what had happened over time is that began to be really perverted, and extortion really became the reality. They were converting money at very high charges. They were selling people animals at high prices. Basically, you can go back to the Ohio State game analogy, right? Or maybe Disneyland, right? Like, once you're in the park, right, everything's more expensive. And in some ways, that's what seems to be happening here, right? I mean, Jesus calls it, you guys, what was meant to be a house of prayer is now a den of robbers. And that's part of why Jesus is so angry, why he starts turning over the money tables, right? As you guys are extorting people, but it's not just the extortion, right? It's also, I think, they have set up a marketplace in the court of the Gentiles. And so think about the reality of this. If you're a Gentile, you're not allowed into any of the other courts. So you're coming to the temple in order to worship and pray and I mean, hopefully to encounter God. And instead of having a place where you can pray and sing and worship and reflect, you walk in and the court has been turned into basically a 4-H barn. I mean, there are cows and pigs everywhere, and I got nothing wrong with 4-H, right? 4-H is great. But like when it's supposed to be, right, the sanctuary, the sort of church setting, and what you get instead is like a county fair, right? I mean, that's not what people, it's hard to worship probably in that setting where you've got cows mooing and sheep bleeding and it, you know, there's poop everywhere and people are selling and exchanging money. It's like a bank and a 4-H barn put together. It's not what it was meant to be. And really it shows the heart of the Jewish leaders and to some extent the Jewish people. They just so missed it. They were meant to be. God had blessed the Jews and loved the Jewish people in Israel so that they could be a blessing to the nations. And instead their hearts have become so hard and calloused that they're actually putting a barrier between the nations and God. The place that they are meant to keep holy, they've turned the house of prayer into a house of profit. And specifically, they've kept out those who are Gentiles, those who are foreigners. And that's why Jesus quotes, right? My house was to be a house of prayer for all nations. That's from Isaiah 56. And that whole section is about how the foreigner is able to come to God and to worship. And so this reminds me, you know, one of our core values at LifePoint is reaching priority, that we care as much about the outsider as we care about the insider. And so, I 100% believe what scripture says, that we are to love one another, to do good to each other, especially to the household of faith. We are to love those who are in the church as brothers and sisters in Christ. But we are also called to have a love for those who are not yet in the church, who are not yet in the family of God. And we need to, unlike Israel at this point in time in their history, we need to remember that God has brought us into the family. He has saved us to then send us out. And far be it from us to forget to care about those who are far from Christ and to forget or to put unnecessary barriers between them and Jesus, between them and the Father. Jesus came to remove those barriers. And so I want to encourage you this Christmas season, as we're heading towards Christmas and as you celebrate with your family, with you or your family, just the reality of Christ and his coming. I want to encourage you, whether that's serving those who are less fortunate than you, or just remembering to pray for those who are far from Christ. Maybe you've got that one person in your life you continue to pray for. Don't grow weary in doing that. And let's not let the Christmas season be one that's just inward for us, but rather as we look to the Father and we celebrate what he's done through the Son, let's remember to pray for those who are far from Christ as well, because that reflects the heart of the Father. Let me pray for you and take some time to pray for yourself. Lord, we love you. Thank you for sending Jesus for us. Jesus, thank you that in this passage and in other passages, you show your passion for the holiness of God, for true worship, not hypocrisy, not just religious activity. And also, Father, Jesus, for your passion, Father, for your passion for the nations, to see them come to know and love you. And God, we don't, as the church, want to put up artificial barriers between people and you. We want to proclaim the gospel, preach the gospel, love and serve those who are far from you so that they can they can hear the good news and come into a life-giving relationship with you. And I pray, Father, we'll do that this Christmas season. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now take a moment and pray for yourself. Thanks so much for joining us for the LifePoint Drivecast. God bless you. Have a great rest of the day, and we hope you'll tune in with us again tomorrow morning.